are listening to the Activity Pod with Annette Jones and Mel Kettle, where we help you stay focused so you can get stuff done. In today's show, we talk to Jonathan Christian. Jonathan is based in Vancouver, Canada, and works with small business owners to help them tell their story and build brand equity. We also talk to Jonathan about his recovery from a horrific car crash that left him determined to succeed and with a titanium neck. You can find this episode at theactivitypod.com/24. We have now come to the end of this podcast, as this is our last episode. Annette and I would like to give a huge thanks to our guests, as well as all of you who have listened, provided encouragement, and given us feedback. Annette and I have decided to focus more on our core businesses, and you can find Annette at World Travel Tribe, and you can find me at melkettle.com. We are also active on various social networks. I'm at Mel Kettle and Annette is at Annette Jones Biz. However, right now, please have a listen to our conversation with Jonathan Christian. Thank you.
Welcome to the Activity Pod, where your hosts, Annette Jones and Mel Kettle, talk accountability and focus on helping you get stuff done so you can gain greater freedom to choose what you want to from life. And now, here are your hosts, Annette and Mel.
Jonathan Christian is an expert in helping small business owners tell their story and build their brand equity. He is now a recognised training partner with BC Wood and Honeywell. Jonathan publicly teaches monthly through his social media challenge meetup and is often a guest speaker and panellist. Married to Debbie with three grown daughters, Jonathan lives and breathes social media, due in part to a major car accident that he had in 2008. While recovering from life-altering neck surgery, he made the most of his recovery time learning everything about social networking. Since creating We Make Stuff Happen in 2008, Jonathan and his team have helped local businesses, entrepreneurs, and non-profits master the social space. For the past 5 years, Jonathan has personally trained over 500 businesses in the art of social media and content marketing. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hey, thank you so much. This is exciting.
It is, all the way across the seas in Canada.
I know, I'm just going to say, you know, at the end of the day, we're all British at the beginning.
Right? Indeed, right. We are. You're our first international guest, so thank you.
Woohoo!
Yes, well,
I'm even more excited now.
Da, da, da. Yeah. So the very first thing we want to know is how you fit everything into your day.
Well, I think being a parent is good training.
Yes.
Because, I give kudos to my wife for being able to get three kids up out of the house and to school, because the job I had when we had young children really didn't lend myself a lot to being helpful around the house, but uh-huh. Certainly learned to do that. I'm one of these old school people that writes down a lot of stuff on paper. So yep. Quite often the last thing I do at night is I write myself a list of what I need to do first thing in the morning just in case I forget. Mm-hmm. So I have multiple lists going on my desk, and that's really how I do it. That's how I make stuff happen, old school.
Okay, that's great. And do you have a daily routine that you set in motion when you first get up?
I sure do, yeah. Well, it even starts before I wake up. You know, it's funny, I have an alarm clock that never, ever goes off although it's set, because I wake up almost to the minute the same day every day, no matter what. Mm-hmm. So I normally wake up around 5:30. Almost exactly. And between 5:30 and 5:45, I just enjoy the presence of the warmth of my covers. And I just take stock of just where I'm at. I look at my ceiling, and I look at my wife and the home that we live in. And I'm just very thankful that everything I have. And I start the day, as it said, with an attitude of gratitude.
Lovely.
And then I leave my cell phone in my office downstairs in my study, so I don't bring it to bed. So I normally come down and grab that, put the kettle on, have my initial bathroom social media scroll through my phone as the kettle's boiling. And then I used to drink coffee straight off, and now I moved away, and I drink hot water with a big chunk of lemon that I squeeze in. Mm-hmm. I have a certain sofa that I love and my favorite blanket. And I just snuggle back under my blanket with my hot drink. And I have about an hour of a few different things, but I read a couple of devotions, I journal, I meditate on what my day is going to look like. I think about who I'm going to meet and what I might speak to them about.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, just going through this whole process of like, life is so good. I am so grateful for what I have.
Mm.
Never really sort of jealous about what other people have. But I always think back to what it was and where it is.
Yeah.
And I just sort of ground myself. So by, I think by 7 a.m., I'm ready to start the day in really good form. And most people sort of say to me, how is it you're so positive? And I know the days that I don't do that. I'm always on catch up and I never quite feel in sync with myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that 1 hour of me time is invaluable.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll probably top my cup up a couple of times with hot water and probably won't hit coffee till about 9 or 10 normally when I'm out and about with my first client or something. I don't miss it anymore, but I value the routine more than the caffeine.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It does make a difference. So we We mentioned that you had a major car accident. What impact did that have on your life, and how did that shape what you currently do?
Yeah, it was major. I was in a three-month-old Honda Pilot, thankfully. Had I not have been, I probably genuinely would not have been here.
Mm.
The accident was, I was at a red light. I'd stopped. Somebody decided to jump the red light opposite. It was raining heavy. He fishtailed and literally just plowed straight into the front of our car. And there was nothing I could do. Caused something like $27,000 worth of damage on my truck. But it had airbags everywhere, sort of around the pedals, obviously out of the steering wheel. It had a whole big side airbag curtain. So they worked phenomenally well. I was knocked out. And when I came around, I was just sitting in this banged up car full of smoke, and I still don't recall the impact.
It
sort of wiped my memory, but wasn't fun. I had a big airbag burn all up my arm, and not long after that, I was in just chronic pain in my neck. My right arm wasn't working. I had ultimate anxiety of being in a car and distance and just reliving that impact again and again, and I could see accidents about to happen everywhere. So I was not in a good state, and literally about a year and a half of different treatments for physio and steroid injections and inversion therapy, nothing could fix the chronic pain that I was in and the numbness.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up getting quite revolutionary surgery, and I actually now have a titanium neck, not a fusion, but an actual handmade titanium implant for my C5667 discs in my neck.
Wow.
So I call it the Terminator neck.
Do you go off at airports?
Do you know? No, that is the weirdest thing. Even in the whole body scanners now, it doesn't show as a zone. And I know titanium is a pure alloy, but no, I don't. I don't bleep, which I'm kind of disappointed about. It's a great story. But
it would be.
My wife bleeps every time just because of the bling on her jeans or her underwire bra or whatever, but I get nothing. So she's always looking at me like, really? Again? I'm like, sorry.
I heard a story of a girl a few years ago who was in Southern Africa, I think, or somewhere there was a war zone. And she was on a tour bus that was blown up as a consequence of the war. And her whole body was just filled with shrapnel. So she was in hospital for a long time and they removed as much shrapnel as they could, but there's still about 20 pieces of shrapnel floating through her body. Mm-hmm. And every time she goes through a metal detector, she goes off in a crazy way. And she's been strip searched, and you know, she says she now carries a letter from her doctor saying with a photograph basically saying where all the shrapnel is, because they'll put metal detectors over her arm and it will go off. And they're like, how is it going off on your arm when you have no jewelry on? And she's like, I've got shrapnel throughout my whole body. And then no one believed her for quite a couple of years until she started to carry this letter with this image of where it all was. But it's such, you know, she says now it's a fantastic story, but at the time it was just hell, as you can imagine.
No kidding. Gosh, poor thing.
Yeah.
So it left me in a very vulnerable position, because I had a consulting business prior to that already, and it was almost all my leads came through networking and word of mouth. And suddenly I'm not anywhere, because straight after the surgery, I am on this very, very strict regime of 100% rest.
Yep.
And I thought I could recover very quickly, and that physically wasn't possible. And I literally had a 6-month window where after a month, my biggest exercise allowed was like a walk to the mailbox.
Oh, gosh.
And I could drink, you know, a cup of coffee, but that was the biggest thing I was able to lift for nearly 3 months.
Wow.
So put yourself in a scenario where you're sitting at home with no networking. I didn't really have a website that was a lead generating website or anything like that, because it was just more of an e-brochure, because I always met everybody and business got done face to face. So
yeah,
I literally had to sort of take a long, hard look in the mirror, and it's like one of those holy crap sort of life scenarios. Like, I have a mortgage, I have 3 children, you know, my wife's working as best as she can, but I'm the primary earner here.
Mm-hmm.
And what the heck am I going to do? So I had a basic Facebook page, which we used to correspond with my parents back and family back in the UK. And I went, So late 2008, I'm looking at Facebook thinking, what could I do with this page to reach out to people? And because I just had a feeling that Facebook might be good for small business.
Yep.
And it was before Facebook pages even existed. And I just started to teach myself Facebook. I created a LinkedIn profile, a Twitter profile. That was the 3 I had at the time. And then a friend of mine came to visit, and he quoted that Napoleon Hill wonderful phrase about, out of every adversity is a greater or equal opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't know what this is going to do for you, but I absolutely believe if you use your time wisely, you're going to come out of this bigger and stronger than before the accident. And I held on to that phrase every day.
Yeah.
And I started journaling, which I'd already done, but a bit more specifically. And somebody said, well, why don't you write a blog?
Mm-hmm.
And I went, yes, why don't I write a blog? I could write a blog. So I got a simple WordPress site, and my first blog was called My Social Media Challenge.
Uh-huh.
And I just told my story of where I was at and where I needed to be, and started writing about what is Facebook, what is Twitter, how to do a retweet, how to create a LinkedIn profile.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through everything I could think of and wrote a blog about it. And a friend of mine had a wonderful newsletter called Marketing Dangerously.
Mm-hmm.
So I became a guest author for their newsletter, and he started sharing my content on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And within about 3 months, I started getting quite a lot of comments back, like, really? Really? Hmm. You sort of talk to us about this, because we've heard about social media. We've tried it. We don't see it working, but
mm-hmm.
we love your enthusiasm. We love your ideas, and just maybe we're missing something.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to get some sort of lunch and learn gigs. And before I knew it, I pretty much reinvented how I did business.
Mm.
And here I am 6 years on, I am still teaching businesses how to get and go social, but much more in a detailed content marketing strategy now, and building that brand equity for who they are as a business, and telling stories. It's always, I mean, you can tell I love to tell stories, but it's always about who it is that you're doing business with, not what they sell.
Yeah.
And the more you can leverage that story and leverage that trust, much more likelihood is that people want to do business with you because you're so authentic.
Yes. Yep.
So, short story long,
mm-hmm.
I got to where I got to.
Well, that is true, isn't it? Out of every adversity and all, yeah. Sometimes it does make you stronger, doesn't it? And in your case, it certainly has.
Yeah. Apparently, I can now do contact sports. I don't want to, and I'm not going to try it.
No.
But technically, I have a stronger neck than an average human neck now, but
wow.
I'll leave that for
you. Won't test that theory out. So how did you stay focused on your recovery, and what advice do you have for others with similar challenges?
Well, I had a lot of time, and certainly I know a lot of people would just lay on the sofa, watch movies and eat chips. At the time, my middle daughter, Ellen, was also at home with a chronic illness called complex regional pain syndrome. It's not particularly well known, but she had an issue with her leg, and it got so bad that she couldn't walk. And it just happened to be the same time as my surgery. So I was kind of nursing our middle daughter, and she was in way worse shape than I was, to be honest. And that every time I looked at her and I saw the pain and the anguish in her face, it's like, I have to provide for this kid. And whereas the other two girls were at school and my wife was not working, it's just like, I have to do stuff. So kind of like that nervous energy of just having driven myself you know, out of pain and sort of into recovery. It's just like, I am using this time to become the best that I can be as a storyteller. And even to this day, I'm motivated to, it's kind of funny, I say to people, I said, I am striving to help my wife become, what is it, accustomed to the style to which she'd like to become accustomed. Accustomed. So
I like the way you think.
Yeah, so, you know, if I can bless my wife and she's happy and our kids are happy and we can let them go and live out their great big audacious hairy dreams, which they are, then that's all the motivation I need. I love to please people, but at the same time, it's just nice to have some nice stuff, and it's not going to happen by itself. So, you know, if it is to be, it's up to me, and nobody can fire me except me, and if I do a bad job, then bad on me. So I'm just super motivated to as I say, bless my kids. We support a number of charities as well, which I've made commitments to that I want to honor. And that's how I'm motivated.
I like that. I read somewhere recently that something like 75% of Australians are relying on winning the lottery for their retirement, to finance their retirement. And I just thought, yeah, okay, you've got more chance of getting struck by lightning than you do of winning the lottery. When are people going to wake up and realize that if they want nice things and good things to happen, they have to make them happen themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You mentioned, sorry.
No, I was going to say good stuff happens. I mean, it's Family Day here in BC today. It's actually a public holiday.
Oh.
So it's kind of neat. It's a new holiday that we've had for the last couple of years. And I had some calls that I booked with US clients this morning, and I have landed two new deals today. And
fantastic.
I went to bed last night not knowing either of them were coming my way. And I just said to Debbie, I said, you know, I just netted X amount of dollars today. And she looks at me and went, phew, honey. I went, yeah, not bad for a stat. So, yeah, you never know what's going to come your way. But having that positive attitude and just being available and approachable.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my philosophy as well. You mentioned before brand equity. Can you explain to our listeners what brand equity is?
Yes. Well, my version of it is the world is about people and stuff. And whatever your stuff is, if it has value and integrity, then it's probably sellable. So that's kind of where it comes in. And then the people part is you have the people that work for you and the people that buy from you. And you have to treat them both with utmost respect and honor. And if you get the people part right, then the stuff will happen. Mm. So it doesn't really matter to me who I work with in terms of what their stuff is. As I say, providing it has value and, you know, integrity and there's an authenticity about what they do. So I have probably more opportunity to say no than yes these days from people presenting their stuff to me. And there's certain things I just don't like selling and I just don't think I'm a fit for. But really, just I always give this example. I have a client who have a kitchen cabinet shop. He's been making his own custom furniture since he was a schoolboy. His dad had a woodworking shop. He created his own company in like 1988 or something like that. And he makes some of the greatest handmade kitchen cabinets in the Lower Mainland here. And he was also one of the Lower Mainland's greatest kept secrets. So for me, the brand equity in that company is just telling the story of the fact that the shop is right behind the showroom, that everything is made by hand, everything is installed by hand. He stands by his workmanship. He's got people coming back 10, 12 years later for a new kitchen or a new vanity or a new bathroom. And that brand equity, you know, sure, you can buy a kitchen door from anybody, but the reality of this instance is that he makes them really well at a great price. So my job is to help him leverage that story, which is not easy because most people are so humble and they don't like to push their own stuff and say, look at me, I'm great. And I said, no, we don't need to say that. Let's just look at your product and let the product speak for itself and let your clients be your brand ambassadors and let them tell a story through referrals and recommendations. We do a lot of testimonial video and stuff. And that's how we do brand equity.
Mm. If you're looking for voiceover talent, then get in touch with our voiceover guy, Steve Mendel. Steve is also a consultant, coach, and presenter, and you can find him via his website, stevemendel.com.au. And that's STEVEMENDL. Thanks, Steve. So you've talked about storytelling. How do you encourage your clients, particularly small business owners, to tell their story? Are there any tips or tricks or ways that they might be able to find a story to tell?
Yeah, and most people don't think they have one, which is a sad state of affairs in this day and age. But what often when I meet people and we're just chatting about the business, I wait till I see the sparkle in their eye and I say, wait a minute, that's a blog post. And they're like, what? I said, no, you got more passionate about that little story you just told me than anything else I've heard in the last 20 minutes. And when you can dial into somebody's passion, like why they created the business, what really makes them want to get up in the morning and what gives them a really good warm, fuzzy feeling for what they achieved, that's really the stories that they should be sharing again and again. And as I say, sometimes it's easier to have it from a third party, talking to somebody who received it rather than somebody who sold it. But I just look for that sparkle. And when I start to see the passion building and they get really excited about telling a story, they're the ones that we zone in on.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing too, I encourage people to write blogs and they're like, I don't know what to write.
Yeah.
And so what kind of question are you asked again and again and again? You know, once you've answered the same question twice, that's a blog post. So you can say to people, great question. I've already written about it. Just give me a few minutes. I'm going to send you an email. This is probably going to answer it for you. The other thing that I've really leveraged is everybody wants to buy you a cup of coffee. Mm. And it's not because, you know, I need the coffee. It's because they want half an hour of my time for free. So what I've started to say to people now is if someone says, oh, can I meet you for coffee? I just want to brainstorm. What they really mean is they want an hour of your time for free. Just say, you know, that is a great question. How about I write a blog about it and I'll send you that. And if that's exactly the sort of stuff that you're looking for, let's have another conversation. So
that's a great idea. Yeah.
Helping people leverage their story into content, which is great for Google, great for the website, great for the social media sharing.
Yep.
And,
I take a different tack to that because like you, I get asked all the time by people to pick my brain. And so I now say, that's great. I'm going for a walk on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock for an hour. Meet me here, wear your sneakers and your walking clothes, bring your hat and slap on some sunscreen and we'll go for a walk for an hour and we can discuss it then. And it's very quickly, it's amazing to me how few people want to take me up on that. So it's a really good way of weeding out the people who are serious versus the people who just want everything for free.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh, and then I say, and
it's a great content marketing strategy.
Yeah. Well, I wrote a blog post on that, why I love walking meetings, and it's been one of my most read blog posts. Mm. And it's really interesting how people love it, but they're not necessarily prepared to do it. So
yes.
But that's okay.
Weeds them out.
That's right.
I started charging for my meetup. I used to do a free meetup every month, and now I charge.
Mm.
And the quality and caliber of people who tow up, even though it's only $5, makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And Yeah.
I'm about to put a Pick My Brains charge on my website. So if people do just want to pick my brain, they can pay for that.
There you go.
You know, I'm happy to give you 5 minutes of conversation, but not if you want to pick out all my brain and learn everything from me without paying me for it. I've got years of education and experience behind me. It's worth something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tell me how that works out.
I will. Yep. I just need to get my act together and get it up online.
I use a scheduling program, which can have a charge. It's called Cvita, C-V-I-T-A.
Okay.
And I have the paid version of the plugin, and then it accesses my Google Calendar. People can pick a 15-minute window for a quick consultation, and then I get notification, and they pick two or three. I choose one. Mm-hmm. And there is actually a payment option in that. I don't charge for those 15-minute consults. It works really well.
I'll have a look. Thanks. Yeah, 15 minutes. I'm happy to chat for 15 minutes, but I'm not happy to chat for an hour and a half, which is often what I'm expected to do. So, yeah. It's lovely. Anyway, what do you think the biggest challenge is that small businesses face in developing an online presence?
I think the biggest challenge is they think small. Because we have the same tools as Nike or Adidas or any of the large organizations. We have exactly the same tools. And people tend to think, oh, nobody's going to read my stuff. You know, I'm only a local business, and blah, blah, blah. So I always encourage people to sort of become the world's greatest teacher in exactly what it is that they're passionate about. And I just said, you know, why don't you just become the leading authority on cabinet making or walking and exercising and consulting at the same time? And just say to people, forget the local marketplace now. You have a global shopping cart marketplace out there. I'm sure you might sell a local product, but think of think big. And between Twitter now and Instagram, I mean, Snapchat even, you can correspond with people that you will never get in touch with through email. But if you're not there and not approachable, you're never going to get those leads.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
I'm chatting to some of like the world's biggest names on Twitter now on first name basis through my social media, which I would never have gotten to these people at conferences or phone calls. But social media just opens up doors like there's no tomorrow. So I just encourage people to think big and just have these crazy audacious goals of who they could do business with and who they could connect with. And it can happen.
I remember the first time Gary Vaynerchuk tweeted me and I just about fell off my chair. And I'm sure back then it would have probably been him and not one of his people, because it was about 6 or 7 years ago. And I was just raving on Twitter about one of his books that I'd just read, and he responded and said, "Thank you so much. What did you love the most about it?" And I said, "Oh, this bit. And he went, "Yeah, I get a lot of feedback about that." And I just thought, oh my God, he's got a million Twitter followers and he's tweeting me.
Yeah, he does. And
he does, yeah.
When I read Crush It, there was a question in the book, and I can't remember quite what the question was, but I couldn't find the answer from the web link because I guess the book was a little older than when I'd read it.
Mm.
And I emailed him and said, "Gary, I'm just trying to find this link." And within an hour, I got a response. He connected me with one of his team, came back and said, "Yeah, that social media app doesn't exist anymore. We now use this." And I was like, wow, Gary V.
I know.
What was even cooler was I wrote 2 years ago, he said he wants to do an interview every single day and he wasn't going to speak keynotes, but this is before the Ask Gary Vee show.
Yeah.
He said he wanted to do an interview daily. And I thought, wow, that would be kind of neat. But I stopped myself and thought, no, he wouldn't want to speak to me.
Yeah.
Because you go through that self-deprivation thing. And then I listened to a talk of a guy in Texas and I emailed the guy and said, "How did it go?" He said, "It was fantastic. I just emailed and he said, sure." I went, "You know what? I'm doing that."
Yeah.
So I did, and I did it the day before my birthday, probably about 3 years ago, and they lined it all up, and I was pre-screened, and they had these people talk to me about whatever, but I got a 15-minute one-on-one with Gary Vee on my phone about how to leverage our workshops that we started.
How amazing. Was that recorded?
Oh, yeah.
Can you send us the link, and we'll pop it in our show notes? Is that possible?
Yes, actually. I've never really used it. I have it.
Oh, my God. I'd be tweeting it every third tweet. Who cares that it's 3 years old?
Okay. Note to self. Podcast. Yes, I will find that, and I will send it. I need a little bit of editing at the end because it went a bit weird. But, yes, I could do that. Cool. But, yeah, no, he, the guy's golden. Yeah, Ted Rubin's the same. Michael Stelton's the same.
Yep.
Phenomenal people that genuinely do reply and are willing to give really good advice.
Yep. I'm going to Social Media Marketing World in April and I've got my ever-growing hit list of people I want to meet when I'm there. And I'm quite excited. I don't think Gary's going to be there this year, but there's a few other people who are very high up on my list of equally well-renowned.
Look out a fellow called Marcus Sheridan.
He's
called the Sales Lion. I've been to one of Marcus's workshops in DC for 2 days, and he is probably my favorite speaker for They Ask You Listen. And he gives outstanding value, and I know he's going to be there.
Excellent. Thank you. I will. Do you have any tools or apps that you can share with our listeners that will help them get stuff done? You've mentioned your calendar tool or your plugin. Are there any others?
I was thinking about this when you asked the question, and I wanted to sound really techie.
I mean, we know you love a pen and paper, and I do as well.
So here's my tried and tested system. I have really good post-it notes, and every time I meet somebody or I have a thought, I write it on a post-it note and I put it on my notice board, and then as the day goes by, I just look at all these post-it notes and I move them around, and I have one of these sort of silly photographic memories. I can always remember who I met and the conversation that we had. And as soon as I see that name on the little poster, I said, "Oh yeah, Annette, we met at Sandy Krakowska and we were on this webinar call together and she got missed out on having her 5-minute hot seat. And I felt really bad for her." That kind of thing just like instantly pops back up in my brain, and that prompts me to sort of reach out to that person or look at them on LinkedIn or something. So it's very low tech, old school. But when I handwrite somebody's name in their website on a little piece of paper and I keep it up on my board, I generate more leads and traffic than anything else. And it's not Infusionsoft and it's not a CRM and it's not on my cell phone. I sometimes take pictures of my notice board when I travel so I don't forget. But that's what I do, and it works.
Did you train your brain to have that fabulous recall, or is it just something that you've been blessed with? Or is it a bit of both?
I wish I could say I went to Dr. Einstein's school of... I just have one of those memories that I can't tell you. My wife just says, really? You remember that? I went, yeah. She said, oh, you would, you know?
Yeah.
But I just remember the weirdest things. And I always love to meet great people. And I always remember the smile and the sparkle in their eye. And it just stays with me.
My mother was like that. I used to work in a department store, and I was at work one day and this woman comes up to me, or this girl, I would have been in my early 20s. And she said to me, I went to school with a girl called Melanie Kettle, and which was on my name tag, obviously. And I said, oh, it couldn't have been me because I went to school, you know, in a different state and at this school. And she said, oh, no, so did I. And I graduated in 1985, and I said, oh, and so did I. And I said, what's your name? I'm sorry, I don't recognize you. And she told me her name, and I didn't have a clue who she was. But I rang Mum that night and said, this weird thing happened to me today. This girl came up to me at work and said, we went to school together, and my name is whatever her name is. And Mum, for the next 10 minutes, told me everything about her. And I just was there going, well, I left that school 8 years ago. How on earth can you remember every little detail about her when I don't even remember her name?
Wow.
And Mum said, but she did all these things and this and this and this, and how can you not remember her? I'm like, She had obviously a bigger impact on you than on me. Yeah. But wow. Mum did that. Mum could do that all the time.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And one whereas thing I do... couldn't.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say one thing I do, because I'm a little bit of a procrastinator. And there are certain jobs I really don't like to do. So what I do when I'm writing my list at the end of the day is I schedule them into my phone as calendar items. And I'm not allowed to press close until I've done it. So I only allow myself to press snooze. So all the crappy jobs that I hate doing are bugging me until I get them done on my phone. And it's almost like eat the sprouts first before you get to the chicken or whatever. That's what I do. And I know I get all the crappy stuff out of the way in the first thing in the morning, and then I can have fun all day.
But I like that.
I do that.
But if you eat the sprouts first, what if you don't have any room for the chicken at the end?
That
was my argument as a child.
I have actually come to like sprouts now that my wife cooks them with bacon and onion rather than my mum boiling them to death sort of thing. But Yeah,
it's a whole different way now of eating sprouts.
It is. But you know what I mean.
I do. Can you talk to us a little bit about Snapchat? I've just signed up to Snapchat, but I just don't really get it.
Well, I'll tell you what it isn't. It isn't mainstream. It's not lots of teens sort of getting naked and sending selfies that disappear anymore, which is what people thought it first was, and it probably was. But what I found now, I think it is the purest form of social media, because the My Story thing, if you do an image or a video and you click the My Story, it'll stay for 24 hours. And then you can add a time or a temperature or a place to it, depending on if you keep flicking from right to left, all these different filters and little icons come up on top. And I find it, I don't use it as much as I could, and I'm definitely getting better at it. The people I follow, like Michael Stelzner or Gary Vee or even Ted Rubin now, they have like this daily journal, and a Snapchat video is maybe 30 seconds or something, and then you have to start and do another one. But I follow those guys religiously now. It's not a voyeurism thing, but I just love to hear their thoughts on what they do. Like Ted Rubin, every time he's in an airport, he goes up the stairs rather than using an escalator, and he has this hashtag, what you can, when you can. And WYC, and it's like, yeah, and it's become, I've really gotten to know these people, and when they follow you back, and you can just swipe the button up, and you can chat, and you can directly chat, which you can, which has been awesome, But I think it's like reality TV meets social media in a good way.
Yeah.
And I find now that a lot of the clients that I work with that I've encouraged to use Snapchat really get to know me a lot more and a lot more about my values, so that when we work together, they already know where I'm coming from a marketing perspective, and they just say, oh, I want to do this too. Remember when you did that RV thing? And I want to do that. So Snapchat is like in the moment, lasts for a day, no digital legacy because it disappears. Although you can save your images and you can drop them back up to Facebook. And I noticed on the latest app update this week that they're now saving images for iPhone 6 and 6S in HD. So actually a lot better. That's just come out, the latest little app thing. And okay. See, I do know some techie stuff.
The most exciting thing I've seen today from a tech perspective is that Instagram now lets you flick between two accounts.
Oh, wow. Finally.
I know. Yes. Coming out today. I don't have it yet on my account, but they've said they're rolling it out to all accounts over the next week. And it's just been announced.
Fantastic.
I know. Best thing ever.
I don't have it yet, but oh, well, you made my day too. I have to sign out and sign in for all the different clients.
I know, because who does that? Very few people. Yeah. Pain in the bum.
So Snapchat is great, but video overall is where I see social media going.
Yeah.
Just making those videos often. I actually make one every business day, approximately 2 minutes long, and I make one every morning, and it's been a huge bonus for business development, and I love doing it because I feel like I'm putting a positive vibe out there to the world. And
where do you share those?
Well, I make it on my iPhone directly, and I have a couple of different mics and tripod and stuff, and a little remote control, and then I upload it directly to my Facebook business page.
Okay.
And I often share it over to my personal page.
Yeah.
And then when I have more time, I'll upload it to my YouTube account again from my phone.
Yeah.
And then embed that YouTube video back to my blog. And then often I'll transcribe it and make a written blog out of it as well, but predominantly daily on Facebook. And I have a different theme for every day. I have Motivation Monday, which is today. Tip Tuesday, where I always give a tip of the week. I have Reward Wednesday, which is, I always just remind people to sort of say thank you, either to themselves for getting this far through the week, or to one of their clients, just because they're one of the clients for no other reason than that. I have TBT Thursdays, Throwback Thursdays, where I always just reflect back on a previous story and give thanks to something. Quite often my Facebook time hop is reminding me about something from years gone by. And then Fun Friday. And I always find something fun to do with people on a Friday to finish off the week and encourage them. And I've created quite the following, and created a playlist now actually on my Facebook page. So I'm dropping them into each channel, if you like, for each of those days. And it's been an awesome story. It costs no time at all, just a couple of minutes, and I always put some context to it, so I'm not a talking head behind a wall. I'm sitting in the car, not driving, obviously, but I've done them from the Grand Canyon, I've done them from Bora Bora, I've done them from the movie theater, wherever I am, I take a video.
I'm gonna try that sounds great.
I thought you said you weren't very techie. That sounds really techie to me, uploading it from my phone to YouTube and then embedding it in my blog.
Oh, well, I guess.
You're more techie than you think, I think.
Maybe.
So what's your favorite social media platform from a business perspective and why? Do you have one even?
Yeah, I should say LinkedIn. But I can't, as much as I use it quite a lot, and it's good. I just don't find it personable enough. I still have too many people in suits.
Mm.
I always gravitate back to Facebook. I actually read in USA Today on the weekend that Mark Zuckerberg predicts by 2030, 5 billion people will be on Facebook.
Yeah, I read that. Yep.
And, I just think, wow, that's like almost all the world.
Yeah.
So I still go back to Facebook. Again and again, it's by far my default platform. I use Twitter a lot, Snapchat, I use Instagram, I'm there. Pinterest, not so much, but I use it. But Facebook is just, for me, it's where it's at. It's about life and family and people and stuff and breaking news. I mean, I find out more stuff sometimes from Facebook than I do from TV.
Yes.
And, yeah. We had an earthquake here a few weeks ago, and it was quite the jolt. I never felt anything like it. Mm-hmm. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and suddenly it felt like a big truck had hit our house.
Wow.
What was that? And I went downstairs, and there's no damage to the house, and there's no truck outside. I went... So I just put it on Facebook. I said, was it just me or did the earth move? And that created a whole stream of conversation for like 2 hours. We were all waiting for this aftershock or what it was. And yeah. I took a picture of Debbie, my wife, we have two earthquake kits, and which we bought and for that very purpose. She's sitting there in bed huddling onto these two earthquake kits. It was so much fun. And it created a buzz all around the world because most of us have never experienced a real earthquake. And it was literally a 3 second, I don't know what it was, 4.6 or something in the end, but it was big for us.
And, I have to ask, what's in an earthquake kit?
Well, we have two backpacks, and they're called 72, and it's everything you need for a family of four to survive 72 hours.
Wow.
So there is dried foods and sort of space blankets and bottled water and first aid kit and a flashlight that winds up and all sorts of stuff that you probably would never, not just the basic first aid, that you wouldn't think of needing. But if we're always told here, because we're on that San Andreas fault, mm-hmm. and also it's another, there's two faults very close to Vancouver area. And they say when it happens, it will be a big one. Wow. And they say you need to be prepared for 72 hours without getting help from anybody. So this yes. company called 72hours.ca have made these kits. And I bought one for a family of four, and Even like having cash in the house, because if electricity goes down, the ATMs yes. go down, you need small yeah. bills. So there's some money in there, and just not a lot, but enough. And that's what we do.
Mm, interesting. I found out when I was in Bali, they have quite a few earthquakes, and we were walking down the street just, you know, shopping, and all everyone started running out of shops and so forth, looking up at the sky, and we're thinking, what on earth's going on? And apparently they had an earthquake, but apparently if you're walking along, you can't feel it. But if you're standing still or sitting or lying or whatever, you can actually feel it. And a couple of days later, I was lying around the pool, and my partner had gone to the bar bringing some drinks back, and we had another earthquake. I could feel it, but he didn't.
How bizarre.
It was, and why everyone was running out of the shops, because they actually believe that the gods create the earth to shake. So they felt the earthquake and was running outside to look up at the sky to see why the gods were angry. Yeah.
Goodness. So there you go. Yeah.
A little bit of trivia about earthquakes.
I was bending over my sink, brushing my teeth.
Ah,
we both. That's what we were doing when it happened. So yeah, we sure felt it.
You were stood still. Yep.
But I had clean teeth. So
well, at least if you had to survive, yeah, you had clean teeth. That's a good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's been great. So finally, what's your top tip to get stuff done? If you could just use one.
Write a list.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, pick off the stuff you don't want to do and do it first.
Okay. So you're saying do what you don't want to do first.
Always.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, it haunts you all day long and the next day and the next day and drains your energy.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Get the crappy stuff out of the way and have fun.
Well, that's been brilliant. Thank you very much for joining us today. But just before we go, where can our listeners connect with you? Where's the best place to find you?
Oh, well, we do everything under a hashtag called Make Stuff Happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just hashtag that on most platforms, you'll find me. But our website is wemakestuffhappen.com. Yep. And it's as simple as that. Or you can Google my name, Jonathan Christian. I turn up in quite a few places, so very simple to find us. But the hashtag is what we use a lot more than anything now. And it's just hashtag. And it's become almost like a movement of doing stuff.
Yep.
And I encourage people to just go make stuff happen, will you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks. Fantastic.
That was fabulous. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Thanks for listening to The Activity Pod. Continue the conversation over at theactivitypod.com, where you'll find the show notes and all the other fantastic episodes, together with links to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivitypod, or tweet us at theactivitypod, where you'll find Annette and Mel every day. Theactivitypod.com is also a place where you can connect with Annette and Mel directly. Thanks for joining us today as we find better ways to help you focus, become more productive, and get stuff done so that you can gain greater freedom to choose what you want from life. We'd love you to join us in our next episode where we look forward to helping you with accountability so that you can get stuff done.